and you may be seated. And as you are, draw your attention to our first reading today. It's from Isaiah, Prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. If you want to follow along on your pew Bibles or your smartphones or however you're accessing the scripture, this wonderful, beautiful image that the prophet gives us of a banquet feast, a dinner on the ground, family-style dinner, just a beautiful metaphor of being together and feasting and eating together. And so let's hear this word. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the good stuff, Carter Rogers, the good stuff, the aged wine from the back, you know, they pulled out, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Next. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." The prophet foretelling, giving hope to those, to that community that he was in, but also foretelling of this great banquet feast that we all look forward to when heaven and earth will be reconciled together. This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You ever heard the expression, it skips a generation? It skips a generation. Well, I have found that to be true in our family, particularly when it comes to this thing. My son is a professional chef. Went to culinary school, was an executive chef. He was originally at a restaurant in Atlanta, moved to Athens, did real well there, and now he's an executive chef in Asheville, North Carolina. And I see some people that have actually been there before. Jim and the Elliots have been there, and sort of the Hendersons. But if you're ever in Asheville, great, wonderful place to eat, because my son really, really knows how to cook. He really knows how to run a restaurant. He does well in that. I'm very proud of him. And my father was also a very, very good cook. Now, he's not, you know, he didn't go to culinary school. He doesn't know all the fancy stuff that Chris, but he knew how to cook good old Southern food. His specialty was barbecued chicken. So on holidays, on Sunday dinners, that sort of thing, we would often have barbecued chicken. And I was always hoping to get a drumstick because that was my favorite. And it seemed like we had lots of drumsticks that were there, and I always thought that was the most special thing, to get a barbecue, you know, because they'd be big, fat, juicy barbecued drumsticks. And I didn't know, it was years before I knew that those are the less expensive cuts of meat, right, the wings and that. But my dad made a feast out of them, and it was beautiful. He would make succotash. I don't know what succotash is, right? Deviled eggs, fried okra, all of those things. My dad was an amazing cook. And it was a wonderful thing, and he loved cooking for people, and he loved just the hospitality, the community, the family that happened around those tables when we were ever together eating his food. How many of y'all have found that to be true in your life? A lot of the most profound family experiences of community that you have came around a dinner table somewhere. And as we think about that, and maybe in our family tradition, those specialty dishes that our loved ones would prepare, that we would look forward to when we came together, it was a wonderful time. Best memories in my life are back with that. And, it's life-giving. It is formational. And it was for my son. Now, from Teresa and me, now this is no slight on my wife. My wife is actually an excellent cook, but she actually learned to be the excellent cook she is now when my son was in culinary school. He lived with us during that time and was going to the Art Institute. And so our house for 3 years became all things culinary. You know, we only watched the Food Network, and we were trying, and Teresa, and everybody was learning, and I was getting to, you know, be the beneficiary of all of that great cooking that went on. But my son, in high school, you know, he was a very, very good student, one of the top in his class, a gifted kid, was a Duke tip study kid. And so, you know, what was open to him? What was he going to be when he grew up? He was asked that question a lot as a kid growing up, 8th, 9th, 10th grade. What are you going to be when you grow up, Chris? Are you going to be like your dad when you grow up? And he once said, well, I can't be both. I can't grow up and be like my dad. And I didn't even get it right at first. But so he went to Georgia, and he had struggled finding what he was going to major in, because he had so many things he could do. He would major, you know, he changed his major like 3-4 times. And each time I would say, well, what is your passion? What do you want to do with your life? What do you really enjoy doing? And he would always say, I like cooking. You know, he and some buddies lived close to the stadium, and he would do tailgate parties. And his tailgate parties grew and grew and grew. He loved that cooking and the hospitality in the community that built. Something about that, something that he had seen and experienced from my dad and that family, and from Esther too. Esther's a great cook. But you know, when we'd have these family experience, but if you're visiting, my mother-in-law was sitting right there. She said, so that's that, yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just that experience for my son really, you know, was something he was passionate about. And so eventually he said, okay, I will, I'm going to do it. And so, you know, how would you feel if I dropped out of Georgia? You know, at this point, I think he was a senior, you know. I was like, I'm going to get a degree I'm never going to use. What if I went to culinary school? And so that's what he did. He came home. He started working in a restaurant in Decatur. And it was a marvelous thing to have him home for 3 years. And so those of you who, like, your kids are getting, you know, towards, like, graduation, and you think they're going to move away, they always come back. Maybe not forever, but they come back for a while. But it was great having him after he'd been away to come back for those bonus years. And it was during that time that my father passed away. My father had this congenital heart thing that he had a heart bypass, not bypass, he had had a pig valve put in, and he just took so good care of himself that he kind of outlived, you know, when they would actually do surgery on him, and he really needed another valve replacement. So when it came to the time that he passed, he actually went pretty fast. From the time that he really got sick until he died was probably less than a couple of months. And so, you know, it was very sad, you know, and it was, you know, losing a parent. You all know, some of you have lost parents in the last year, and that's why we're here on All Saints. It was a very difficult thing. Here's the thing, you know, around the celebrations in life, these banquets, these feasts, there's a Christmas, Sunday dinner, you know, family style. But another time that we love on people with food is during a time of loss, right? I mean, like, we church people, we don't know what else to do. We make casseroles. What can we do? We can make food. We can love on people and show them love by doing that, and we do. And so, you know, the food came in, as it did for all of you all I know. And so when my father passed, some of us sort of went to autopilot to the things that we do. My brother's a very administrative, very organized person, so he started organizing all the stuff, making sure all the arrangements were made and all of that. I'm a preacher, so I started taking care of the service. And, you know, each family member seemed to have their part. And Chris, who was, you know, in his first year probably of culinary school, said, I want to cook. I want to make the, after when we finish the funeral and we come back to the house, I want to make that meal. And so when we came back, it was barbecued chicken. It was succotash. It was all those things, because something about that taste in that brought back those memories of family and community and sharing. I think that's what the prophet is trying to communicate to those people, because they knew. They also knew what it liked to be hungry, because they had come through a famine. They knew how hard times were, because they had been enslaved, and they had been some very, very difficult times. They had been at war. And so this is an encouragement to look at this future picture, and to do that by talking about this great banquet. We're all together, family style, around the table. Jesus, and so go back, and the image that he paints in there of all the loss is good for us. Look back to that Isaiah, I think it's the 7th verse, next slide. Okay. So the sovereign Lord will wipe away from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. This great banquet time. Jesus also knew about that. Being around a table with people is how community is made, how friendships are forged, how enemies come together. Yeah, I heard a quote that, after a good meal, you can forgive anybody, even family relations. And so how many know that's true? And so Jesus used that, and he used this, this metaphor to say, if you have a banquet, if you have a feast, you're going to be hungry again. But I am the bread of life. Jesus is this bread that sustains us. Jesus knew that. There are 30 times in the New Testament and in the Gospels where Jesus is around the table with people. I read a book one time called Eating Your Way Through the Gospel. It was the Gospel of Luke, and it really was of the conversations that he had around these meals. Because you know. And here's the thing about those is that sometimes at these meals, we're very aware of the chairs that are empty. And I know for many of you, this past year has been that. As you come to birthdays, as you come to Thanksgiving and Christmas, and all of those days when we generally come together and eat all those wonderful things, that somebody's not there. And so my prayers are for you. All our prayers are for you to support you through this time and to give you comfort through it. Another thing about it, just looking at this metaphor of table and being there, is that when relationships aren't right, that's always obvious as well, right? If you come to the table and there's two people that are struggling, you know something's not right. Mom and dad are not right. And so that's an awareness that happens in these meals as well. And so as we come to the table today and we remember those wonderful times that we have tasted and understood the bread of life, that as that taste comes back into us, it'll bring about this memories of community. Let us also be seeking to bring new communities to life.